This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chim, hit him with that.
So Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website or use your mobile device to get in on the action. And that's Bet Online, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLERS. They're 24/7 to help you out with anything you may need in that category. But this is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning with All-American quarterback Chim DeChekwa. We had a draft, man. The draft took place in Detroit, man. That's not too far, man. It looked like it was a good time up there, man.
Yeah,
it seemed
like it's a good time in Detroit. It's interesting to me how many people show up for the draft. Yeah. It's like there's no football being played tonight. You got thousands and thousands of people. They oversold tickets. There were some people that couldn't even get in, climbing underneath the barricades. Detroit was live, man. Yeah. So I hope all those people got to see whatever they came to see. And maybe they came to see Marvin Harrison get picked in the top five. Maybe that's what it was.
Makes sense to me. I mean, he was there, right? He was there. So, yeah, so obviously Marvin Harrison, I guess we really didn't have too much concern. It was not no concern because it's an NFL draft. But he ended up being number one wide receiver taken off the board, going to that. Landed at number four spot to the Arizona Cardinals. So he joins back-to-back years for Arizona, taking Buckeyes in the first round, joining Paris Johnson out there in the desert. Man, what do you think about Marvin going out to the desert, going to Arizona? We're excited for him. But, I mean, what's your thoughts, your initial thoughts on him joining that organization and playing with a quarterback, Kyler Murray?
So you have to go back 20 years. The last time the Arizona Cardinals drafted a receiver in the top five, 20 years ago. That's Larry Fitzgerald, who they drafted out of Pittsburgh. And when he came out, I mean, he was low risk, right? After seeing what he did in college, he was low risk, high reward. Ended up playing 17 years, I believe. And almost all the way up until those entire 17 years, he was a high-level player for him. And you know, you have to think Arizona, with that experience of picking a guy in the top five and him being that type of player for so long and really being a staple player for their franchise, you think Arizona, who's one of the best players in Cardinals history, you think Larry Fitzgerald. And you have Marvin Harrison, another generational type player who's right there, who has a legacy, Marvin Harrison Jr., right, who you know is another player that looks like a low risk, very high reward. And obviously, they got Kyler Murray there at quarterback. At the end of the day, in today's NFL, you need high-level playmakers on the outside to support any quarterback that's back there. And I think they got their guy. I know there was a lot of talk about who is the better receiver between him and Malik Nabers. I think they're very different how they play. But at the end of the day, I think Marvin Harrison gives them that lowest risk, but also – has a high reward, and I think their experience with Larry Fitzgerald is really the learning for them to be able to identify and say, you know, this feels like the right pick for us.
Yeah. So obviously, I like Kyler Murray. I think he's a playmaker. He's kind of a scat guy. Obviously, you know, so jokes about his height. He's not the tallest of quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, we got the gifts going around the internet, you know, Marvin Harrison up here, Kyler Murray down here, kind of on the height situation. But I kind of looked into some numbers, right? And like, well, this could be maybe a tad bit concerning. So obviously, Kyler Murray's not been in the field for about, I want to say like 5 or 6 years. And over that course of time, he's only had 1,000-yard wide receiver, and that was DeAndre Hopkins, and I believe like a 2020 season. He ended up having 1,400 yards, and it was literally just him. He played some years with Larry Fitzgerald. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald's on the back end of his career, but no 1,000-yard receivers out of them. Last year, the leading receiver was actually a tight end. Trey McBride led the team with 800 yards in receiving. You know, Kyler was coming off an injury, so, you know, he wasn't there the full season. But he did have some receivers there, like Hollywood Brown. You know, he's been an okay player in the NFL, and to be honest, he didn't have much stats playing with Kyler Murray himself. So it is a tad bit concerning, I guess. You know, the style of ball that Kyler Murray plays is, you know, he's really quick, has an explosive arm, but essentially he doesn't, I want to say, often kind of just, you know, catches the snap, drop back, and throws the ball. Usually his highlight plays of him just kind of, you know, running around, making guys miss, and then eventually trying to hit someone down the field. So, I don't know. I would say it's a tad bit concerning just due to the style of play that Kyler Murray has, what he brings to the game. But I feel like you feel. Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, wherever it is, he'll figure it out. You know, maybe we haven't seen him in that type of situation. Obviously, Ohio State, he never had a quarterback that did a ton of scrambling. So I'm sure he'll be up for the task and challenge him. There would be, you know, one of those go-to connections, right? That's what we're looking for, a go-to connection for many years here.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I mean, he's a top five pick, so they're going to target him. Like, so yeah. He has to get the targets. He has to get the passes. And, I mean, you typically, if you go in the top five, I mean, is it typically concerning? Because you're likely going to a team that isn't really a great team, typically, depending on how things shake out. But you're likely going to a team that's not great. I think Arizona was starving for a number one receiver. You mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. They don't have that type of guy anymore on their roster, and they need him. So I think he gives Kyler Murray that. And now you get to know, is Kyler Murray that guy or not? If you put a guy like that out there and he can't produce, then you know that maybe we'll be looking for a quarterback next. But, yeah, I'm excited for him, similar to Larry Fitz. In the good years, Arizona has some good years. In their down years, they had some down years. Larry Fitzgerald was always Larry Fitzgerald. So that's what they – with Marvin Harrison. I mean, I think even those times when he didn't always get the best passes from McCoy last season, he still came and showed up. He still produced. And I'm excited to really see, you know, his continued development in the NFL.
Yeah. And just one more thing, Omar, before we kind of go on to our next draft, it would be Mike Hall Jr. Did you see the piece he had, man, the chain? It was kind of like the Simba and the Mufasa looking into the water thing. Man, I thought that was pretty cool, man. That was a good one, the kind of a representation of himself and his dad. You know, starting off his career, and you know, obviously he wants to have another Hall of Fame career as his father had as well. So yeah, so our next guy, Mike Hall Jr. Man, he goes to my God. I should have put on my Browns shirt, man. I wasn't thinking, man. But Mike Hall Jr. gets drafted to the Browns in the second round. Before the draft, you know, with some rumblings. You know, I know he definitely took a visit up there to Cleveland. He's from Streetsboro, Ohio, which is not too far from Cleveland. Man, they went with the hometown guy and went and got the D tackle, man. What's your thoughts on Mike Hall joining the dog pound and going up to Cleveland and kind of moving up, bouncing up into that second round and getting selected at that spot?
Yeah, I thought he did a lot for himself in that time between the final game and the draft, you know, Senior Bowl, all those things, showing his talent. And I think it shows he was a top five or so D tackle in this draft. But what I really like about the pick is the fit, right? Obviously, we want a guy to get picked as high as possible, make the most money as possible. But also to have the long career and really get to the money over time, it's the fit. And him being able to be back home, to also be on a defense that's good, to be on a defensive line that is good, that's going to give him some opportunities, get some one-on-ones. And we know what he can do. In a position when he has a one-on-one matchup in a pass rush position. So I like the pick. And the Browns are starting to – listen, I'm not a Browns fan.
Yeah, man, come on over.
If they keep grabbing these Buckeyes, man, I'm going to be forced I'm going to be forced to, you know, to really start rooting for the Browns. So I like the pick, man, and I'm excited for him to be a part of that defense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, like you said, I mean – playing on the defense with Miles Garrett, right? So you got like this phenomenal player, Marshall, off the edge already. You got to account for him. So what does that do for the rest of the guys up front? It does create opportunity. And you've seen it last year for the Browns, several of those guys making big plays. I know as a Browns fan, I kind of keep up. We needed some help in the interior defensive line. If it was one thing you kind of we needed was some more depth right there in that spot. And it feels like you said, it feels like the Browns got their guy. Like you said, like, you know, they brought him in for a visit. You know, so they were very fond of him, obviously, you know, close to home, all those kind of things to kind of check a lot of boxes. And why not? If you got a great player like that right down the road, you have a chance to take him. You know, why play around with it? You know, you go ahead, yeah, take the chance, and you get your guy. And now this is 2 years in a row that you see the Browns drafting Ohio State guys. Obviously, last year they got DeWine, they got Wiper on the offensive line. So now this year they jump in on the defensive line. And as we were speaking before, they got Ronnie Hickman in the defensive backfield, another Buckeye. So in my opinion, if you're trying to build a winning organization, why not get some guys that's known for winning, right? I mean, I feel like – for years, the Browns has kind of overlooked Ohio State guys. You'll see the Bengals getting Buckeyes. Obviously, the Steelers keep Buckeyes on their roster. And they, over last recent years, you could say those teams has had more success than Ohio State. But this the current group now at the Browns kind of see the value in the Buckeyes. And I think they're, you know, making the right decision. You know, get some guys that are winning, some talented guys, especially a guy, if you can, that's close to home. How much pride does he have, you know, for the Cleveland Browns, and what we do to kind of go out there to make sure that they're a success?
Yeah, and why not? You know, the team is right there. They obviously have high-level talent, great at developing players, and just fit, just being comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, football is a tough sport. NFL football is tough. It's hard. And a guy being comfortable can add a little bit more to their ability to, you know, continue to be able to be locked in, watching film and all those things. So yeah, I'm excited about the pick, and I'm starting to really lean towards the Browns a little bit, man. But I'm not there yet, man. They need to add a few more Buckeyes over there.
Yeah. I mean, hey, next year it's gonna be a new draft, so you know, you never know. Yeah. So also, we need to talk about next. Kay Stover. Kay Stover joins CJ Stroud in the Houston Texans. They take him in the fourth round. I mean, I think that's a great landing spot for Kay. Obviously, for a lot of reasons, right? He gets the synergy back with a quarterback that he knows. But you just talk about being comfortable. You talk about, you know, you go into a place where the star quarterback is your old quarterback. What better position to be in to learn the playbook, learn the things you need to do, the ins and outs of the offense, so you continue to have that success. What do you think about Kay Stover, first off, going fourth round, and then also going down to the Texans in Houston? And, you know, what do you think about his year?
Yeah, another great fit. Obviously, the chemistry and the synergy between CJ Stroud and Kay Stover, going to the same school, playing together already. But just, I mean, it always feels good when you root for a player and they're in a good situation. And to me, this is a good situation for a guy who's a really good playmaker at tight end in the passing game, right? So it gives CJ another target. And I mean, you have to just love being a pass catcher and playing for CJ Stroud, because he is a guy who's going to have his eyes downfield, and he's trying to get guys the ball. He's going to understand what the defense is doing, and he's going to try to get those guys the ball. So Kate is in an unbelievable position starting out to have that synergy with the quarterback, who, by the way, is a top 10 quarterback in his league, who, by the way, is still a very, very young quarterback in his league. So it gives them opportunity to also grow together. So another good situation. And I think the Texans, another organization that has really taken a lot of strides in really building towards the future. And they look well positioned to be able to continue to make a run and do it year after year if they remain this consistent.
Right. And I know Houston, I mean, they was excited about that case. So, I mean, they was, you know, raving about him. I mean, obviously, it's the NFL. Everyone does their research. But when you get a guy like Kay, you know, who's a captain of your team, a guy who's a leader on and off the field, a guy who's just known for working hard, playing through injuries, making timely big plays, I mean, you want that on your team. So, him going in the fourth round, I feel like it fit. Obviously, he tested well, ran fast, he has great size for a tight end. He kind of checks all those boxes. So definitely excited to see Kay kind of just continue his career, go down there and to Houston. And it's funny, I was just thinking, like, you know, we might need to start creating some backer bars, some Texan backer bars in the Columbus area.
Yeah, right.
So we can kind of continue to watch our guys, because they're definitely going to be lighting it up on Sundays here in this coming season.
And I actively root for the Texans because of CJ. I'm a big CJ Stroud fan, so I'm not trying to be a Texans fan, but I actively root for the Texans. I actively root for CJ Stroud. So I'm excited to be able to see Cade on the field too, as I continue to root for that offense to continue to put up big numbers and be special. So yeah, I'm hyped for them, man.
Yeah. Now this next one, I know you got to be ecstatic. I mean, you got to be fired up about this one. Tommy Eichenberg being drafted to the Raiders, fifth round pick. Man, how are you feeling over there? Former Raider going to play for another. Well, obviously they're not in the Bay anymore, but it still just feel like, you know, yeah, the Raiders are a Bay team, the Bay legend and Antonio Pierce. Man, what are you feeling about Tommy Eichenberg going to play in that linebacker role for the Raiders?
Yeah, silver and black, man. I got to take at least two trips to Vegas. You're going to have to join me on one of these trips. Going to
hey,
a
man,
Raider
you game. All you got to do is to give me the word. Let me know.
shout out to the Raiders picking up Eichenberg. Eichenberg is, so if you know the Raiders and the Raiders history and the type of players they draft, obviously they drafted me, right? But the Raiders history are getting those athletic speed guys who jump off the page, right? That's not necessarily Eichenberg, but I think the new Raiders and what they're trying to build is getting a guy like Eichenberg who is a high-level talent. I think he played great in college, but really understands the game, really understands how to play the game, do things the right way. He's going to be a great fit for that defense. I thought the Raiders, you know, the thing about the Raiders, I feel like a lot of times they make bad decisions in the draft. I thought this was a year when they made good picks. They got Browers early because he kind of fell into their lap and he was kind of the best player available. Mm-hmm. And maybe they didn't need a tight end, but at some point where you got probably one of the best players in the draft, you go get him. And they got Eichenberg. I like the Eichenberg pick. Definitely rooting for him. So I'm excited. I'm excited that they grabbed at least one Buckeye, man. So I could root for those guys for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. And yeah, I think, like you say, it's a new tide out there, right? You know, they under new leadership with, you know, selecting the coach. I mean, obviously it's the NFL, so they kind of get coaches kind of anywhere. But a guy with not a ton of experience, right, yeah, did the interim role, and the players loved him to just kind of pound the table. Like, look, he's our guy. Don't bring no one else in here. And yeah, so it's like it's exciting, right? You expect the Raiders to have exciting football this year. I don't know, the Raiders. I don't know if they got much in the quarterback. It's not a Raiders show, but I don't think they need to figure something out in that quarterback room. But other than that, I know they're working on some things and to be, get going in the right direction.
Yeah. I think the Raiders might be back picking a quarterback again next year. So we'll see how that plays out. Tanking for Shedeur Sanders. No, but the one thing about Eichenberg, if you think about, so the head coach is a former linebacker. Mm-hmm. Former, a great linebacker in the
Super
NFL.
Super Bowl champion, right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it's always interesting when those coaches, under their first draft, pick the guy at their position, right? Because it means a lot to them. Like, that person is one of their favorite people in that draft. I don't care what round it is. If a linebacker, a young guy who played linebacker in the NFL, if his first linebacker draft pick, I mean, that's a guy that he thinks highly of. So I think that's a nod to Eichenberg and what he did at the college level and what he did in interviews and everything else that showed that this coach, the first time, his first draft, he picks that guy as his first linebacker. So I think that's a shout out to him.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then other guys going undrafted free agents to teams. We got Josh Proctor going to the Jaguars. Matt Jones joining the Miami Dolphins. Steel Chambers signs with the Detroit Lions. And Xavier Johnson signs with the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, we know the game enough. No, I was a free agent myself. And, you know, essentially, when you get into it, it really doesn't matter. You show up and you try to play your best football. But out of those list of guys here that are guys that end up going free agent, what are you thinking like, you know, who can make the biggest splash this season, you know, making the team, the active team, and actually contributing to a team and their success out that bunch.
Yeah, I'm thinking, so when I look at it, Josh Proctor, Steele Chambers are two guys to me who could have easily been drafted, right? And I know we put a lot of value on who got drafted and who didn't, but this isn't a perfect science. Josh Proctor, the year he had was, to me, up there with a lot of safeties in college football. And his physical attributes, his athleticism is up there with all the guys who got drafted, right? It's not like he was a guy that didn't perform well at the combine. And he's a good talent. The position, though, the safety position, to me, is not the highest value position. You look at some of the positions like running back, safety, linebacker. These are positions that you can get guys that are starters for a long time across. I mean, it's possible at any position, but if there's positions that you say, you know, we're not going to necessarily prioritize, those are the positions. So a lot of times you'll see guys who play safety, like Ronnie Hickman from last year, right? Ronnie Hickman got picked by the Browns and was a big producer for them all year. And it started in camp, in preseason, picks and everything. So I'm looking out for Josh Proctor. I think he has a real opportunity to be on the team, make a great career. Steele Chambers as well. Matt Jones. Matt Jones is another guy, right?
Yeah, so Matt Jones, I mean, obviously he played a lot of ball for Ohio State, right? And most of it was at that right guard position. But we know he can go to center as well. We've seen in the bowl game him switch over to the center position. And obviously the offensive line didn't have the strongest of days, but it really wasn't his fault, you know. But when you're in that position, like I said, I lived it, right? If you're an undrafted free agent, you know, you kind of got to go in there and be able to do multiple things. You can't just go in there and say, like, well, I'm a guard. I'm going to play guard. Like, you know, as the offensive line, you have to swing around. You have to play on the right side. You have to play on the left side. You have to play multiple positions. So him having the ability, we know, to kind of go out there and snap the ball, go out there and learn the offense, because as a center, you have to know the offense just as well as essentially as a quarterback does when it comes to making some of those points and calls, so to make sure you guys are going in the right direction. He definitely would have the ability to do that. Going down to the Dolphins, I say he had to get ready for the heat.
Yeah, it's hot out
you know,
there,
coming from Ohio. I spent a camp in the Dolphins with the Dolphins, and this I was very grateful. Most of the practices took place in the morning because it's hot and humid. But once he gets used to that, he'll be all right. He'll kind of lock in, and I look forward to him kind of battling out, you know, fighting for a role to make that team. And if not, he'll definitely land on the practice squad and start his career there to kind of build and just keep getting better and take it from there.
So one of the weirdest, I think, careers at Ohio State is Mayan Williams, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at one point, I mean, he was a 1A, 1B type running back for Ohio State. I thought when he, you know, was healthy and was playing, played at a high level, he showed a lot of ability to, you know, get yards after contact, great in the middle, in between the tackles, et cetera. But injuries that weren't fully disclosed, so I'm not really sure what those injuries were, whatever other reasons, wasn't able to consistently play. And now he's still not necessarily with the team, which is also kind of it's kind of weird to me, right? You think, at a minimum, he's going to sign with a team and be in somebody's rookie minicamp and take it from there. What's your take on Mayan's situation?
Man, I think, like you say, it's just a tough position. It's a tough position. You know how the value of a running back has landed. I don't think there's no running backs taken in the first round for sure. I think one running back was taken maybe in the second round of the draft, and it's just kind of how the game has kind of shifted. Like, you know, there's no longer how you just have that one lead back and you just kind of, you know, he carries the team. Most teams has multiple backs and multiple guys. So if you're a guy that's kind of coming in, maybe you're a little nicked up. Due to those nicks, maybe you don't have the chance to test, or maybe due to those injuries, you don't test as well as you could have. You know, all that things kind of line up. It doesn't really, you know, help your case here. So, obviously, we know he's a capable back. You know, we watched him play 4 years at Ohio State, and we've seen the things that he could do when he has the opportunity to do them. Just kind of with the NFL, right? You just kind of have to land that opportunity. So, Hopefully he's somewhere. He's still working. He's staying on top of things. Like I said, I'm not sure about how the rookie mini camps line up for him, if he has a spot or not. But if he does, you know, I'm sure he definitely will, you know, turn some heads. Because once again, he's definitely a smart, capable, strong, tough running back. And it's just a situation here where he just has to, you know, has to get the opportunity. That phone has to ring so he kind of could go and show what he could do.
But it kind of baffles me, the situation. Because honestly, when he's playing, he looks like a high-level running back and a guy who could start on, you know, any of the college football teams. And he still had another year of eligibility as well, right? So, I mean, he could have played another year with Ohio State, but I'm assuming the situation was whatever it was. He also could have transferred, right? Like, he could have transferred somewhere and got paid whatever a starting running back gets paid to in the college football today from an NIL standpoint. You saw Chip train him transfer, I think, to Kentucky. And, you know, I mean, these guys are getting money to play. I don't know if it's 10 grand, 20 grand, 50, 100, but they're getting something, right? That rivals what you would get as an undrafted free agent, right? You know, some of these guys won't get anything to sign. So I almost feel like, you know, I just wonder. I have no inside information as to what the situation is. But I wonder, like, what is it? Because to me.
I didn't think about it that in depth. But, yeah, you're right, though. Like, he had some opportunities there. He didn't do it, right? He could have, you know, extended his college career. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, with the times, you know, there's more communications with representation now than ever due to NIL and things of that nature. So maybe they was telling them, you know, this is your peak. You need to go ahead and, you know, move forward from here. And we just know how weird the draft could be, right? The draft could just be weird. And then obviously with free agency still at the forum. So it's just, I mean, like you say, it's a ton of factors to it. It's just, you know, we had to talk to him directly to kind of see, you know, essentially what's going on and how we got here, more or less. So
the other weird thing was this draft, you have five quarterbacks go in the top 10, right? Five quarterbacks. So going into the draft, a lot of the talk was like, this isn't the strongest draft for quarterbacks. You got some, you know, you got some guys at the top. You got some guys in that middle tier, and you can kind of falls off after like a Bo Nix or, you know, JJ, whoever you put at the last guy in that mid tier. But you have five top 10 quarterbacks, which makes it look like it was a really strong draft. Like the Peyton Manning, or Eli Manning, Philip Rivers draft or something. How you feel about all those quarterbacks?
Man, it's a lot of quarterbacks, man. I'm trying to call them all off. So we got Caleb Whitt, number one, right? And then who you got? You got Drake May, right? He goes to the Patriots. Then you got Jalen Daniels, right? Goes to Washington. Daniels. And then you got your guy. Penix, he goes to the Falcons, who was like, you know, they just spent, I think, with 160, 180 on the quarterback, and just spent it, and they didn't take another quarterback in the first round. And then you have, obviously, the guy from School of North, JJ, goes to Minnesota. I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league, right? And we know even for the first-round quarterbacks, it's not like some great percentage of them turning out to be NFL success. But we all know if you're going to be competitive in the NFL, you got to have a quarterback. So you got guys reaching, right? We know Atlanta take a quarterback. They say, like, oh, we trying to mimic what the Green Bay did. And like, okay, but, you know, Jordan Love was like 21 in that draft. Penix is 24. Like,
yeah.
Kind of look like a guy that's ready to play compared to a guy that it doesn't really equal out. But guys was reaching, and I guess we're going to see how it goes from there. I know one thing I will say this, though, how the Bears got all these offensive weapons all of a sudden. They got three first-round draft pick wide receivers on the team. And when my guy Justin Field was there, you know, obviously he had what's his name out of Carolina?
DJ Moore.
They had DJ Moore, and then after that, it was just like, That's it. Just for one season. And then all the other wide receivers I can't even name. I know Kmet is at tight end. He's a good player. But, yeah, all of a sudden the Bears know how to acquire weapons for their quarterbacks.
I think the Bears fumbled the Justin Fields error or whatever. I think they learned their lesson, right? And unfortunately, that lesson learned, it benefits the next quarterback, and Justin Fields gets traded away. But yeah, for the five quarterbacks, you know, the more and more I think about the Falcons pick, right? Because initially I'm like, okay, this is crazy. Because first of all, I wanted Penix to get drafted by the Raiders. and he got drafted so high that the Raiders weren't even a factor. Yeah. But the more and more I think about it, if you look back last year, so many quarterbacks got hurt. Mm-hmm. So many quarterbacks got hurt. Anthony Richardson was a top five pick, but pretty much the whole season was played with I forget his name,
Minshew,
the quarterback.
Yeah.
But across the board, you had a lot of quarterbacks get hurt. And oh, by the way, the guy that the Falcons gave $160 million to was one of those quarterbacks that got hurt. So you have that transition, but you also have a likelihood that the guy that they actually have doesn't finish the season. And that's just the reality. So I think they must feel good about everything else, and they feel like we're really missing a quarterback. So we're going to get two of them. But yeah, I mean, I like Penix. I'm not sure I like him at six, but given the he went six, then JJ went, I don't know, top 10, and then Bo Nix went to the Broncos.
That one was, to me, a little bit more confusing. Because, I mean, I like Bo Nix. I thought he was a very competitive player, but I just didn't see a lot of the pro play in him.
Yeah.
And another guy, he's older than Penix, I believe.
He's up there
in age, man. So,
I trust – there's a few coaches that I trust when it comes to choosing a quarterback, although – Sean Payton may lose my trust after his pick, but I trust Sean Payton. I trust Sean Payton to do things that are unconventional. The process may look a little funny, but ultimately get there. So if Sean Payton picks Bo Nix 13 overall or whatever, even though I don't believe it, I trust Sean Payton to get it done. So yeah, but I thought all those quarterbacks getting picked early, all those offensive players getting picked early, pushed back, you know, all the defensive players. And then you just had, and players in general, you just had great players, really good players who could be top 10 picks in the back half of the draft, which was an interesting thing.
Yeah. But I would say this before we end. You know, there's always a debate about, was it Brady or was it Belichick for all those championships? With this decision here, we're going to figure out, was it Drew Brees or was it Sean Payton with the decisions that he's making at quarterback? But that's our show here for today. We're going to end all our show with an OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks, and we catch you guys next week.
Go Bucks.